Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy. Hey guys, so this message, week 7 of We're the Warrior, is the message of Erwin McManus from Mosaic LA. And we at our church just watched the video, and I'd highly recommend for you to watch it as well. It's a great message. You can find it on YouTube, you can find it on their website as well, mosaic.org. But the podcast, the audio podcast, is actually a message that I gave at one of our other campuses, Metro Campus. And so if you'd like to listen to it, we don't have the a video of it, but we do have the audio. I'd highly recommend you to watch it. I think it'll be, listen to it. You can't watch it, but it'll be a blessing to you. I really believe that. And so it was an important conversation for us to have, and I really want to make sure that you got an opportunity to actually listen to it. So enjoy. All right. So how, okay. Nice. How was those donuts? You guys have some fun? We should just stop and just have donuts, more donuts, and just call it a Sunday, right? I'm telling you, church should be like this every Sunday. Can we make that happen, Kristen? Can we do that, please? Let's start doing that. So much fun. It's so great to just be able to do that. So I'm so glad that you're here. If you're not part of a church community and this is your first time, I'd love for you to be a part of us, because this is a great movement here we're pioneering. We're actually at a different campus. We started in the north of Charlotte, and we pioneered this community about a year ago. And so it's like just great to see the fact that there's so much life here. So I'm so thankful. Can we just do this? I mean, there are people who are serving your kids right now. They're in that, some people call it the dungeon, which is not a dungeon, of course, because it's really actually nicer than any space here in Plaza Midwood, our kids' space. There are people serving there, and then there are people just came here, set up, you've got bands. I mean, there's so many people volunteering. Can we just give it up for them? Can we do that? Can we honor them and say thank you so much? Go crazy. Get some more. Yes. And you guys are obviously all going to sign up to volunteer. I think that was just the volunteers. I think that was, it was like, there's hope. No, it is great. If you have been thinking about volunteering, it is just great to be in a community, because you get to know people. And we're going to be talking about that idea. So we've been in a summer series called The Way of the Warrior. And this is obviously chapter of week 7. So if you've followed along with the book, if some of you guys are reading it, if you're in a group that's reading it, we're going to be talking about this. We've been talking about this book, but this morning we want to talk about, in particular, what he talks about, the idea of that the warrior is one with all things. So now, if you don't know anything about Erwin McManus, he's just a great speaker, leader, and author. He's written several books, and he does an amazing job with all of these sermons. In fact, chapter 7, this one right here, this week, it impacted me so much. I felt like, oh man, Mosaic as a church, we just need to hear this. And so and then I thought, okay, well, how can we make this happen? So at North this morning, they're actually watching Erwin McManus's talk on this week's. So we're watching the show in a video, and I thought we were going to just show this video this week. And then we thought, oh well, we won't show this video. And there was a lot of conversations. And I thought, you know what? I got a chance to come here, so let's just do this. I'll speak here live, and North Campus will get Erwin on video. So I'm sorry you get me live, because you got Erwin on video, and he's better any day. But what I want to do, though, is what I've done, and is that I want to take the topic, the
what he introduces, the idea, and then just kind of bring my ideas to it. So this morning, what I want to talk about is this idea of being known, and what does it even look like, and what does it mean? How many of you would say, okay, how many of you have seen people this past week do this whole face app thing, where they put an older picture or a younger picture and the older picture. How many of you, make some noise if you've heard it or you saw it? You saw it? Of course you saw it. So I did it. I had to do it. I'm sort of an early adopter. So I did. So this is me normally, right? I'm usually smiling and I have my shades on. I sleep with them anyways. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it happen. Whoa. Okay. And then I had a moment. I was like, why did I need to know this? Like, I know this is inevitable. You guys know this, right? Everyone is going to get older. Okay? Write it down. Take notes. Tweet it. Everybody's going to get older. But sometimes you just don't know what you want to look like. And I was, honestly, I didn't want to get into the idea of, doing it until pastor friends of mine started sending me pictures of me being older. And I was like, what? But they're younger, and I'm just older. And I'm like, what, you guys are terrible. And so I looked and I'm like, oh, wow, this is what I look like. And it's scary. I didn't want to know this. And then I thought, okay, so I Googled, what would I look like if I was a little bit younger? What would I look like? And so I got a picture. I would look like him. Right? Totally. I mean, you were supposed to edit that. It was supposed to be Naeem Fazel. But that's what the app did. I don't know. But can we all agree that there are things you just don't want to know? I know you can get rid of the picture. Some of you ladies are like, oh my goodness. No, stop. Okay, so we all know there are certain things in life that you just don't want to know, even though you know you need to know. And it's so important for us to actually dive into that and really sit in that idea of like, do people really know you? And do you really know people? And why is that even important? As I was thinking about Irwin's book, he's written several books. I remember when I wrote my book, and if you don't know, I did write a book called Ex-Muslim and the Way of the Muslim. I should have written that one, but I did not. That would have been a cooler title. Anyways, and so I wrote Ex-Muslim, but it was quite the journey for me because I've only written one book, and that also I got all the help I could get to write it. But the journey was interesting because I was trying to figure out if I should self-publish, should I get beg someone to publish me, what should I do, how do I do this? And then some people threw out this idea of an agent. And anyways, I found myself at a party once, and this guy was like, you got to meet this guy. He's like this, he's an awesome agent. He's been in the business. You got to meet him. And I was like, okay, finally. So in the party, I went up to him, and I was like, hey, people told me that I should meet you. And he said, oh, people told me that I should meet you, too. So we just sat down, we started talking, and he said, so tell me about this book, and tell me why you want to write this book. So I had to tell him the idea, but then he wanted to know a lot more about me, and it was so much more. I mean, the story, the book is about, like, my story, but my sibling's story is how we went through the Gulf War and then came to faith in Jesus, and it's supernatural, but it was just a lot of information. And then he was like, why would you want to write this? Like, he was asking me questions, like, I'm like, dude, this is first date. Like, what are we talking about? Like, what are we doing here, okay? This is not like, you ask me a lot of questions here. And then I said, finally, so here's the thing. Here's what I need to know. What do I need to do? Do I just need to go ahead, self-publish? I'm the first-time author. People have said, you should get an agent. You know, you're an agent. And he was like, yes, I'm an agent. And I was like, well, so. And I actually found a publisher who was going to publish me, but I just really felt so weird about it. I just felt so strange about it. I had already said, like, I verbally said I would sign with them, but I was like, I don't know about this. And so I talked to him about it, and he said, you know what, in light of what you've told me, what I know about you right now, I would not sign with them. I would get an agent. And I was like, okay. Get an agent. And he was like, I said, and then I had to ask the question. I don't know if you guys like doing this, but I had to ask, will you be my agent? Like, will you be my friend? You know, like, it's this point. You have conversations where you're like, I'm going to ask, and whatever they say, it might be super rejection, and then I'm going to, like, have therapy after that. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, would you be my agent? And he was like, well, And when you start with well, that's always a bad sign. And then he said, here's the deal. Before I met you, I did not know you. And I was like, well, you know, before I met you, I did not know you either. So I don't know, what are we saying here? And I knew what he was getting to. He was like, that's a problem in my world. And I was like, oh. He said, I should know you. I was like, okay. So he was like, I'll do some research. I'll find out about who you are. And then we'll see. And he finally did assign me and all that good stuff. But it was really interesting because what I learned from him and also other people, that in life, even though that you've heard the phrase, oh, it's all about who you know, it's really not. It's really about who knows you. And now in a very business, a corporate world, it's really about who knows you. It's not about you knowing everybody else. It's who knows you. But when it comes to relationally, and when it comes to even emotionally and psychologically and spiritually in the context of community, it's really not about who you know or sort of know. It's about who really truly knows you. So the big question is, do people really know you? I know you come to a Metro, maybe you come somewhere else, maybe you're in small group, maybe you're in a relationship, maybe you're married, but really, do people really know you? Do you know who you are? Are you asking the right questions about who you are? Do you even know the kind of person you are and the kind of person you're becoming? Do you know who you're meant to be? You see, the idea about this book and the chapter is all about being one with everything. And you can't become one with everything if you're not even one with who you are. It's the idea of like really understanding that you're connected to everybody else, but also that you have to know people. It's this idea where the God created creation in which it would know each other in a unique way, which I call communion. It's a very different concept than what we understand. And I think sometimes in Christian world too, it's like that. It's like we get to come to church, we do certain things, but we just don't get to a point of actually really getting to know each other. And I think that's why spirituality just seems a little dull at times. Church work and church life seems dull. You come, maybe you volunteer, maybe you don't. But because people don't really know you, you just feel like you're all alone. It's really connected to all of these things. And it's connected to the fact that most of us live our lives trying to get the right answer. I mean, even if I would say maybe it's you, maybe it's all the other churches, but most people in all the other churches this morning, they're coming because they need answers from God, and they want God to answer their questions. But could it be possible that we're just asking the wrong questions? I've been listening to Ed Sheeran. Anybody, any fans of Ed Sheeran? Yeah, so the new album drops, right, number 6, is a collaboration project, and I've been listening to it on Spotify. I don't know why. I listen to Bollywood and Ed Sheeran. I don't know, okay? So my tastes are all over the place. But just listening to him as either writing or doing some things in the background, I stopped and just listened to the lyrics of certain songs, and I thought, wow, you know, like profound and really brilliant songwriters. They write these amazing songs, but in those songs echo people's thoughts and feelings. And some songs actually give you answers. Like they're like, hey, this is what you need to do. It's the weekend. Yeah, like this, do this. We're gonna do this. I'm about to do this. You know, it's like there's a lot about like this is what you need to do. But the really profound ones are the ones that go that ask the questions. Actually, if you want, don't. He's not depressing. Post Malone is not depressing. But anyways, he is very thoughtful in some of the songs that he writes. Now you're like, what are you talking about? Are we going to get to the Bible? Yes, we are. Relax. We are. But what he does is with some of these writers, they really ask some profound questions. And I think in Christianity and in the church, we're so focused on answers, we don't ask the right questions. And for some of us, the reason why you're stuck in your relationship with God or your spirituality is because you're hunting down answers for the wrong questions. And for some of us, we need to stop and go, God, do you even know me? Have I given you permission to really know me? Jesus, while he's speaking and talking, he would do this. He would communicate in such a way that it would provoke people to start thinking a different way. And in one of his talks, he's going off. He's got a sermon. He's got all kinds of things. But he throws in a thought in there that I want us to focus on. It's our first scripture here. We'll put it on the screen for you as well. It's in Matthew chapter 6, and it says this. He says, he's talking about the light being kind of an open door to your soul. He's talking about health. He's talking about, again, deeper things. It's about, like, hey, do you even know who you are? I know on the surface, but do you know who you are? It's not about who you know, but who knows you, and do you know you, right? And so he says this. He says, if then, the light within you is darkness. Help me out. What does it say? How what? How great is that darkness? Now, let's just stop right there. It's a question of like, hey, let me just ask you something. So I know you think there's light in you. I know there's something about you that you love and like and admire. There's things about you that you fills you with life. But let me just ask you something. Could it be possible that the life within you is really darkness? The light in you is really darkness. And if it's really darkness, if there's something not good, unhealthy, unwholesome, bad, destructive, how deep is that? And so for so many of us, what we do is we live spirituality in a way of like, I just want to connect with God and I just want to communicate with God and that's it. And that's what my life's going to be. And then spiritual life looks like that as well. Like, I just want to connect with people and just want to communicate with people and that's it. But see, when the teachings of Jesus are very different because he moves us from communication and connection to actually communion. And the idea of communion is very different. See, a communion is this idea that you and I become one. We're not distinct. We are actually in unison, and there's a level of trust. There's a level of I know you, and you know me. See, communication is like, I want to tell you what I know. Communion is, I want you to know me. That is a very different idea, isn't it? And that's what when we commune together, it's not like, hey, we have donuts, which are amazing. Okay, they help the communion process for sure. We should just put communion donuts instead of bread. I don't know. That might make it tastier. But the idea of even communion is what? It's this idea of like you going to God and saying, I'm giving you permission to know me as I want to know you. You see, when you go to communion, it's not the act of just remembering what he did. It's not about like, I know what I'm doing. Because sometimes you go, oh, well, I know what communion is supposed to be. No. But does communion know you? Like, does God really know you? For so many of us, I think the question is, hey, have you given permission to God to know you? Because if the warrior, if this person who fights this inner battle, who's going to be victorious, because that's the heart of this book, if you're going to win the inner battle, you and I have to ask the hard questions. Do people know me? Do I have I given people permission to know me? Or am I just kind of keeping it surface level? It is a game changer for so many of us. If we were to go, you know what? I need to know and be known. No. It's a different spin than I want to be known and I want to know. You see, we live our lives like that. I mean, our culture, our even our economy is set up like that, right? I want to be known. Your brand, product, service, who you are needs to be known. And then you want to know. And this is what I know. So it's about information. And it's about being an individual. And it's about admiration or adoration. But when you turn it around, it's not about communication, this idea of like, I want people to know me. It's about communion. People get to actually really know me. It changes it because that's about intimacy and it's about vulnerability and it's about satisfaction. It's a deeper conversation. But are we willing to do that? Paul, one of the writers of the New Testament and just a guy who really asked the right questions, I believe, says this in the book of Acts. Let me read this to you. He says, "For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his what? Offsprings." You see, he's pointing towards this relationship that gives you life. He's pointing to us to a reality and an atmosphere, even an environment that our souls breathe not just breathe, but live and thrive. And it's this idea of knowing God and being in him and not just being made by him, but we exist in him. We live and we breathe and we move in him. See, again, it's not like I just want to pray to God, ask him stuff. He answers me stuff. I just need a miracle. I just need something. I want a transaction. And see, life with him is not a transaction. It's a communion. It's not communication. And life for us, like what makes you come alive, the way you are wired up, is when you and I really commune, is when we know each other, is when we pick people in our lives who are safe, trustworthy, that we are going to commit our life to, our season to. We commit our, hey, you're going to be my boy. I'm going to be your girl. Like it's like I'm with you. I'm walking with you. I'm going through life with you. And here's it. That's where we live and move and have our being. That's where we actually live. That's where we thrive. You see, the writer here is saying, hey, this is the reality of God, that you would live and move and be in him, be his offsprings, but it is the context of how we were wired up. You and I are not going to fully know each other till we allow each other to know each other. And what I mean by that is that for some of us, we're like, I want to just know who I am. You cannot know who you are without other people knowing you. It is in the process of people knowing you, you begin to know who you are. And if you've ever doubted that statement, just think about how much money you pay to a therapist, because here's what they're doing. They're getting it out of you. Because as soon as you open up and allow them to know certain things, you, my friend, heal yourself. You open up. That's why even the scriptures say, hey, you want healing? Confess your sins to one another. What does that mean? No, it doesn't mean like, hey, go to a Catholic church, go, no, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. No, no, no. The act of actually allowing people to know your horror or holiness, allowing people to know who you are, the very act of it, the confession of it, when it you name it, when it comes out of your mouth, heals you, does something to you, opens you up. It's when you sit down and go, I am nervous right now. I feel insecure right now. See, how many of you would say, hey, if I would say, raise your hand, and I would say, hey, how many of you are exhausted? How many of you raise your hand? I'm exhausted. I'm tired. Brene Brown did, actually, it's a Netflix special right now that she's talking, that she talks about this as well, but she's written so many different books. But she talks about the connection to exhaustion, to loneliness, because so many people go, I'm just tired all the time. I'm just in the funk. No. What it is connected to actually loneliness. Your soul is lonely because you know that there is a gap. There's a fact that you live with. And that fact is people don't know me. And if they did know me, they wouldn't like me. And so I'm just going to keep it to myself. And your soul is exhausted. That's why he says, hey, in him we live and move and have our being. And guess what? We are his offsprings. So it means we thrive in that environment just the same. So here's a couple of questions for you. What is your biggest hindrance in people getting to know you? What is the one thing that you're scared of? Do people know you? Do people know you? Are you okay with this? Or are you like, Naeem, shut up. I don't want to talk about this. Okay? Or does it freak you out? Is it one of those like, I'm not quite sure. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to talk about this. I was talking to a friend of mine. She's a single girl, and she's actually Indian, and I was spending some time with her, and my sister was there as well, and we got on this dating app. How many of you just love dating apps? Woohoo! Make some noise! Okay, yeah, right. No, sorry. So there's how many of you have heard this? I really would love to know this, though. How many of you have heard of this Indian dating app called Dil Mil? Anybody? You have? Shay, really? Seriously? Okay. Oh, yeah, that's true. I know where you guys met. Hello. Okay, so Dil Mil translates to Dil is actually heart, Mil is meat, heart meat. That's awesome. So we're sitting there, and she goes through some, she's lamenting about the dating scene and all that, and I'm like, okay. So she's like, let me just show you some pictures. Let me just show you. And so the whole context is that you see a picture, and Dilmil, it's like you swipe, I guess, left or whatever, and then, yeah, left, if you, something. You get 10 swipes. I don't know how this works, okay, in that app, and and you get to put some information on there, right? So she sent me some pictures. She's like, let me tell you what I'm looking at right now, okay? Here's my life, okay? So she showed me some pictures. And if you're Indian and you're on Dilmil, I'm sorry. Number one, what is going on here? What is going on? And so she showed me, I was like, what? Okay, I mean, I get it, but it's a little too much, right? It's overdone. I'm not talking about his eyebrows. I mean, I'm talking about everything, okay? It's just a little overdone. Okay, how about the next one? Okay, this guy, okay. Everything is cool till this shows up. Hey, what are you doing, bro? Neil, what are you doing? He's a finance professional. What's going on? What is going on? And why would you say, I'm going to put this on my profile pic on dating app? And I'm not going to shave my armpits either. I'm not going to do that too. There's a lot of, whew. Okay, this one was the best. Okay, let's see if you can see this one. What is going on? Deepak, what are you doing, Deepak? Deepak is in a gingerbread house. This is his profile pic. Like, this is the only picture of him. What does he do? Other professional. Not professions, other professional. Is it creepy or is it just me? Right. I'm like, really? What are you doing? Okay, let's just get rid of this. He's freaking me out. And you know what's sad about this, though, is that you've seen people do some really dumb things. You've seen people do some things you're like, what were you thinking? I mean, you've done this, too. You've done some things and you thought, what am I doing? Why did I do this? The question is, why didn't someone tell you? Right? Why didn't someone go, Deepak, let's not put that one up, dude. What are you? Like, you're into kids? You're into gender? What are you doing? Right? What are you doing? Neil, let's remove that tattoo. Or hide it till you're married. I mean, I'm like, till you seal the deal. Why is it that we see people do things and we do things and no one told us? Well, it's because we've never given people permission to correct us, because it's connected to who we are, right? I mean, I'll tell you this. I mean, I'm just being really honest here. Like, there are people in my life that I love, but because they haven't given me permission to tell them some things, I don't know if I can. But I would love to. I would love to tell some of the ladies that I know. I'm saying, I just want to say, stop. Just stop. Just stop. Stop. Stop being so desperate. And stop pretending or acting like every guy is your dad. Stop being defensive. Stop acting like you need validation from a male. Stop it. Like, I want to tell them, but I can't. I want to tell some of the guys out there, hey, all the women in your life, they're not your mom. You have a mom. Your wife? Not your mom. Okay, so stop. Stop wanting to be, like, cuddled and whatever, and I don't even know what. Okay, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why do you need her to tell you you're amazing? If you don't know that, that's a problem. Stop doing this. I would tell ladies, hey, stop. Stop being so prideful. Stop being so negative all the time. I've hung out with people, and I'll tell you, in 5 minutes, I know everything about what they hate about themselves. You know why? Because they say it. Oh, I have a fat nose. I'm too hairy. I'm too short. I'm too fat. I'm too square. I have a dad body. I'm like, why do I not? Stop. Don't tell me all this. And worse is, don't tell your soul this. Like, I just want to stop. With one person, I wanted to go, dude, how much do you hate yourself? And you know what I know? this person would go, what are you talking about? I don't hate myself. And I go, let's just rewind what you just said in the last 30 minutes. You hate yourself. Friends, I mean, it's easy to point. I get it. And go, but it's tough to actually do, right? It's tough to be vulnerable. It really is. I was in a staff meeting once, and you know, we tried our best to be in our Mosaic staff to be healthy, wholehearted, and honest conversation. So I'm in this meeting, and this one guy, he was like, "Hey, can I just be honest? Let me just tell you something." And I go, "Sure." And I'm in charge of this meeting, and he goes, "Can I just tell you, when you say this phrase, you make us feel like idiots." And I go, "What's the phrase?" And the phrase is, you know, I start with that. You know, whatever. You know, you're not. You know, you're not. You know, you do. You know, you should. You know, you. And when he began talking about it, he said, every time you say that, it makes us feel like idiots. Like we should know this, but you're the only person who knows this. And I gotta be honest with you. Like, it's nice to just say, oh, people know me and be honest. But when you're in a meeting and when someone, like, says, hey, you make us feel like crap, you know what I wanted to say? Well, you know, I don't mean that. Like that's what I wanted to say. I was so close to saying that, too. I was like, yeah. I went, all right. And I got to be honest. I didn't like, oh, you're so right. I'll never do it again. It took me a week to kind of go, All right. And I will tell you, it took a while for me to stop, but I stopped. I don't say that phrase anymore because I don't know what that means. I don't know how that interprets to other people, but I know it's not good. I'm so glad that he was able to correct me. Do you have people in your life that can correct you? Patrick Lencioni, he's a business guy. I wrote a lot of books, bestseller, all kinds of good stuff. But his niche is that he really believes that the competitive edge for businesses is to be healthy organizations. Okay, so he wrote a lot of books, and most of them I have read. One of the books I've read was the title was called Getting Naked. Right. Yes. Okay. And the idea was about a client and relationship businesses have. And he talked about the fear that businesses have about, he calls it being vulnerable, getting naked. He lists three things where I think those are the three things that ail us as well. Not just businesses, because businesses are made out of what? Of who? Do you know? Anybody know? People. Yeah. So number one, the first fear is the fear of he calls it losing business. I call it the fear of losing the relationship. The fear of losing the relationship. So here's what happens. Businesses do this because businesses are people. People do this. And what they do is they censor feedback and they avoid difficult issues. There are some of you who do not want to communicate what you're truly feeling to a loved one because you are scared of losing the relationship. So you don't want them to know this about you. Or that you feel this way. And what you are doing is actually hurting the relationship. It's hurting it because you are controlled by a fear. And the fear is not grounded that you're going to actually lose the relationship. He makes a case about how organizations who embrace these fears and go counter to those actually thrive. Who are open about hard conversations, and very graceful, but they do address hard conversations, and they don't believe in censoring feedback. I think it's not about censoring, it's about being gracious. So, do you struggle with this? Let me give you another one. Fear of being embarrassed. Fear of being embarrassed. It's this idea of being wrong. Businesses do this. Here's what they do. They basically hold back their ideas. They hide their mistakes and edit themselves to save face. And the big idea is to save face. It's when you're in a client and you're just holding back your ideas because you're like, you know what? I could be wrong. This might not be the best thing for them to do, but I won't say it because here's the deal. I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to be wrong. And for some of you, this is a driving force in your relationships. You don't want to feel embarrassed. You don't want to feel like you did something stupid. And so you don't do anything creative. You don't try risk. You don't even try to do something. You don't get up and go, you know what, I'm gonna act a little silly. Why? Because you're like, I don't want to be embarrassed. I'm not that guy. Why? Because you're protecting yourself. And here's what you're doing. You're going, I don't want people to really know. And when you don't let people know you, you don't know yourself. Number three, the fear of feeling inferior. That's a huge one. That's a huge one. It's this, I must preserve my social standing at all costs. I must come across like I got it going on. I got to come across as the smartest person in the room, the best person in the room, the most successful person in the room. I just got to be different. I got to stand out. I got to do this. And whatever opportunity, whatever idea, whatever conversation might not get me there, I avoid like the plague. I don't do it. And people do this in relationships all day long. They don't want to feel inferior. So they bully the relationship. They're in total control of the relationship. If you meet someone and you know one person is in charge, the other person is just along for the ride. For number one, you don't want to be in that relationship, right? And then you go, what's going on here? It's because the one person doesn't really want them to know, and the other person doesn't even have an opportunity to say anything about who they are. So here's the question, right? What does it look like for you? What does it mean for you? Have you given people permission to really know you? What is the one thing that God could be saying to you this morning about really, truly allowing people to know you? Because when we know each other, when we become one, we are one in a sense, in all creation. Because why? In Him, we live and breathe and have our being. But it's got to be real. It's got to be authentic. And it takes time. So if you're going, I don't know anybody like this, it takes time. You just got to be committed to knowing people. And this environment, church environment, being in small groups that we have here, and being in ministries and being a volunteer staff, just showing up a little early or staying a little bit later than the service, it all fosters relationships. I mean, I've visited a couple of small groups from Metro, and man, there's some really amazing things happening. I mean, I got people so excited. I mean, I'll just brag on Peter. Peter Young, he leads one of our small groups here, and yeah, let's make some noise for Peter. Man, every time I talk to him and I bring up his group, he gets this smile. He's like, oh my God. I love this. And I mean, he doesn't act like that. He's pretty chill. But he's, I do this, you know, like he doesn't do Bollywood. Anyways, so, but he's so excited. He's so excited about the fact. And the biggest thing is because he feels like, he's told me this, and is that they're having real conversations. And I know what he means by that. And it takes time to do that. I'll leave you this. I was recently speaking at a church, and this in the summers I go and speak a lot, I guess, or whatever. But anyways, I've been in different environments, and it's always fun. That's the point, right? And so this one guy, he was pretty excited. He's pretty pumped, amped pastor. You know, he was like really great. Yeah, he was the first guy that I couldn't even get in his truck. He had so big, the tires were so big. And I was like, what's going on? When he pulled up to pick me up from the airport, I was like, what is going on here? And he was like, okay, buddy, let's come up here. And we're expecting him to be shorter, you know, because guys do that sometimes. But anyways, okay. But he's actually taller than me. I'm like, okay, what's going on? Anyways, so, but it was great. But so he took me to dinner, and we hung out. It was great. And then he dropped me off in the hotel. He's like, all right, man, see you. I'll pick you up in the morning. All right, bro. He's like, dude, I love you, man. And I was like, okay. I mean, it was the first date. I can't say I love you on the first date. How many? Can I get an amen? I don't care who you are. Okay, boy, girl, whatever, dog. I don't even care. Like, you just don't. I can't say I love you, okay? So he was like, I love you. And I was like, I didn't know what to say. I was like, yeah. And I just shut the door. I didn't know what to do. I was like, okay, forget it, whatever. Because I don't want to say it. I don't feel it, okay? And so he picks me up. He picks me up in the morning, takes me to Starbucks or something, or coffee, whatever. And then we have two services. I speak at one service, come back in between services. He's talking to me. He's like, dude, great job. Oh my gosh, da, 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 people love you. Da, 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 da. And then right before we start the next service, he goes, dude, bro, dude, man, I'll tell you what, man, I just love you. I was like, yeah, man, I'm loving it here too. Like, I don't know what, I can't do it. So then, you know, it ends, and then the second service ends, and you know where it's going with this, right? So he takes me to the airport. All right, we're done. Okay, hey, man, see you, thanks so much, you've been great. And he goes, dude, I love you, man. I was like, I love you too, bro. And I shut the door, and then he drove off, and I was like, you know what? No, I don't. I don't love you. I like you a lot, but I was like, don't drive it, come back. I didn't mean it. Because I don't know if you grew up in a church world, but the pastors, they throw that word around a lot. I love you. Love you, bro. Love, 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 love. And I was like, no, I don't. I like you a lot. Okay? But if I know you enough, and if I say I love you, I really mean it in that moment. Like, I really mean it. Okay? But I don't want to do that. And the reason I tell you this is because if you and I are going to commit to an authentic community, if we're going to be known and allow people to know us, then we don't need to fake spirituality, fake authenticity, fake emotions. We just need to walk along a path and take time and invest in relationships. Because I'll tell you what, the it's in the process of allowing people to know you where everything changes. So let me pray for you. But here's the question, right? What could God be saying to you this morning about that? Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you so much for who you are. And I pray, God, that you would give us wisdom. God, give us wisdom to do what we need to do. To do what we need to do. God, for some of us, it's fear. Some of us, it's anxiety. Some of us, we don't know what to even do. I pray, God, that you would give us insight to who to talk to. God, what are the relationships in our lives that we have to take them further, that we have to allow people to speak to us and speak into us? God, I pray for all of us that we would courageously step into the process of being known. Because I know, Lord, I find myself in that. I would rather be admired than be known. And God, that is something that I need to repent from. That is a thing that I need to step away from. I move away from that. God, I pray you would truly know me. And I would give you permission give myself permission to know you. God, you take us further, I pray, after this conversation. God, give us insight. Speak to us during this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.